The views, comments, and opinions of the following program do not necessarily reflect those of Morris Media Studios, MorrisMediaLive.com, or its affiliates. Listener discretion is advised.
Everybody, hello, hello, and welcome to Phil and Friends, sponsored by The Plug Report. I'm so happy to be back on air today. Thank you guys so much for listening. Listen, call us up at 323-293-3375. Again, the number is 323-293-3375. And I'm in the studio today with my friend, my new friend, Tensy J. Taylor.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm happy you're here. Tensy was supposed to be here about 3 weeks ago, and I got sick, and I was like, I can't come in today. But she's here today, and I'm so happy you're here. She has a book out entitled Bullied From Terror to Triumph. My Survival Story by Tensy J. Taylor.
That's correct.
This is a great book. So tell everybody about yourself, first off. She has multiple lives.
I do. Like,
so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I am originally from Lewisburg, North Carolina. It's a small city about 30 miles north of Raleigh. That is where I grew up. I was born and raised. I graduated from Lewisburg High School in 2005. And then went to my first alma mater, North Carolina State University in Raleigh. Graduated in 2009 with my Bachelor of Arts in Communication, Concentration in Media, and a minor in Psychology.
And I also have a degree in Communication.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's why we're doing this.
Exactly.
After that, I worked for a year and a half for the University of North Carolina's General Administration System. Then returned to my alma mater, NC State, where I worked for the Diversity Office. Okay. And then in August of 2012, I moved out here to Los Angeles, the city of angels, to pursue my master's degree at USC in higher education. And upon graduating in 2014, I became the assistant director of the Black Alumni Association. In addition to that, I am a red carpet host in Hollywood,
yes,
a motivational speaker, and now an author.
Exactly. A motivational speaker. And this book, Bullied From Terror to Triumph, is actually, it's a great motivator.
Thank you.
A lot of people are going through bullying, and a lot of children are going through bullying, and you have an inspiring story about your life. So let's just jump right into the topic about your life and your survival story and how. And this book, you guys have, tell them to go online now. Tell them how to look at the book so they can
Go online now. It's available online through Amazon, Books A Million, and Barnes & Noble. Again, it's entitled Bullied From Terror to Triumph, My Survival Story. Or if you want to follow me on social media, Tensy Taylor, for my Instagram, Tensy J. Taylor, for my fan page on Facebook, you can message me and I will send you an autographed copy of my book. So there are different ways to purchase it.
This is a very inspiring story. She was actually bullied from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade.
Unfortunately, yes.
And I told her, I don't know how you did it, because that's a long time to be bullied.
It is. 13 years of my life.
So if you were bullied in your life, or your children are going through school and they're dealing with bullying, call us up at 323-293-3375. Statistics on bullying say that nearly out of 1 in 3 students, 27.8%, report being bullied during the school year. 19.6% of high school students in the U.S. report being bullied at school in the past year, and 14.8% reported being bullied online.
Yes.
And this is from her book on page 202. And shout outs to Miss Sheila.
Yes, Sheila, thank you, love.
Hopefully
thank
she's listening now. Hopefully she connected. Thank you so much. And she gave me the book, so Tensy gave me my own copy. This is her book. And Sheila, you have a parking citation that you need to pay. So please.
Just go ahead and put her on blast.
I'll put you on blast. Hopefully you played. But let's start. So 1 in 3 students. That's a lot of students.
That is a lot of students. And that's just what's reported.
Right.
So statistics also say that about 64% of students don't report bullying. Mm. Because in incidents where students do report the bullying, it gets worse. Matters are exacerbated. And that was what happened to me in several cases. I would tell my parents different incidents that were transpiring at school. And then the teacher would talk to the bully. And then the bully said, oh, you told on me? You're a tattletale? And then they would bully me more. So I didn't always tell everything.
Let's talk about your first incident with bullying that you can remember. Let's talk about that. So let's start the whole story out so people will know what.
Yeah, so you get the book. The first chapter is entitled August 25th, 1992. And you might ask yourself, well, why is that date significant? That was my first day of kindergarten. And that was the first day of me being bullied for the next 13 years of my life. So I stepped off of the school bus number 144, I remember everything.
Wow.
I had my pink skirt on with my white ruffle grouse.
I don't remember my kindergarten years. Wow. Well, I do, but I don't remember it like that. Okay.
I do. And then my dad, he took a picture every day of my first day of school outfit. So I looked back at my photo albums and saw it. And I was excited. I had my pink Barbie book bag, my supplies inside, ready to go to school and learn. And when I stepped off of the school bus, this bully comes behind me, grabs my book bag, unzips it, and throws all of my articles on the ground.
Wow.
So my pen, my paper, all of my material came tumbling down, and I just knew that one person would come to my rescue.
Right.
No, students pointed and laughed at me. Nobody tried to help me. So with tears in my eyes,
this
picking up my materials. Yeah, kindergarten.
Now, this was an older student?
Yes.
Older student, right.
An older student. Got my belongings and headed to my kindergarten class. And the excitement and the euphoria that I once felt going to school dissipated after that.
So when you went home, you told your parents what happened or you let it go?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Okay.
So if you read the book, it'll say that mom and dad say, oh, how was your first day of school?
Right.
And I was like, it was fine. And that was it. And my parents never suspected anything. So they probably thought I had a great first day.
And that was your first instance as a child.
As a child.
And imagine this happens to a lot of children because children don't know how to verbalize things. I mean, they get bullied by their siblings, get bullied by people on the street at home, and they don't know what to do. So if you were your parents and you would have told them, what would be the suggestion that you would? And call us up at 323-293-3375.
My parents would have gone to the school, and they would have talked to the teachers. They would have talked to the bully. They would have talked to the principal. That's why I am such a strong advocate for teachers, principals, and administrators being in sync, because they need to know what is going on at school.
Right.
And oftentimes, administrators know, teachers know what's going on, but they don't want to do anything about it because that's more work for them. So if you are a teacher, a social worker, someone who works around students and someone is coming to you and saying how they're bullied, please take it seriously because that's why so many young people are resorting to suicide because they feel that no one is listening to them.
Right. Fast forward, what's your next incident that you remember that stuck out in your head?
My next incident that I remembered is a lot of students bullied me because I didn't wear name brand clothes or shoes.
And I want to stop you right there. I'm asking her these questions because a lot of you don't have the book that are listening to my show. So I want you guys to get the book, download it, or buy it on Amazon. Bullied from Terror to Triumph, My Survival Story by Tensie J. Taylor. Go ahead.
So students bullied me almost every day because of the clothes that I wore. So I didn't wear name brand clothes or shoes.
So what did your parents put you in?
Well, they were teachers, and so they didn't have as much money, and it was three of us total. And so we would shop at Walmart.
Really?
We would shop at this store in North Carolina called Family Dollar.
Yeah.
So I got my clothes for mad cheap. Didn't wear name brand clothes, but my parents had their priorities in order. We might not have worn the name brand clothes, but we lived in a beautiful house, had a huge yard, and they took care of us, had food on the table, while some of the students who bullied me, their parents had nice cars, they wore nice clothes, but they didn't have plumbing in their houses. So that was kind of a backwards mentality. But my parents did the best that they could. But a lot of students made fun of me for that, as well as because I was a straight A student. They called me teacher's pet. I was nice. But another incident that really stands out in my mind is third grade, when a student was making fun of me because of the clothes that I wore. And I finally told the teacher, and the teacher talked to him, pulled him aside. And then the next day at lunch, the student comes up to me and says, if you ever tell on me again, I will kill you and your family.
You?
Third grade, 8-year-old, threatening to kill me and my family because I told him.
And at this point, what did you do anything about it?
Yes.
That you remember. Okay.
I told the teachers about it, and then they watched me very vigilantly to make sure that he didn't harm me and he had to stay within a certain amount of feet of me. But I'm like, 8-year-old?
8-year-old. And the thing about it nowadays is that you have to take those things seriously.
Yes. And I grew up in the day where there wasn't a Columbine shooting, where there wasn't Sandy Hook.
Right.
There were no school shootings that was not heard of. So especially today, you definitely have to take it seriously. But back then, I was just shocked that he would make a threat like that.
And, you know, and is it safe to say, you know, and someone listening right now might say, well, they were just kids. Kids would be kids. So what's the difference between you getting bullied than someone else getting bullied?
And as you said that statement, I shook my head because that's one of the phrases that I don't like. Kids will be kids.
Right.
Or to say, well, you should have developed a tougher skin.
Right. And I'm sure people have asked you that. We mentioned earlier that people would say, why didn't you just fight them back? Or why didn't you say anything about, you know?
Yeah. And each person handles a situation differently. And if you look at me on social media, you'll see I'm a tiny person.
She's tiny. She's
I'm tiny. I'll be 30 in 2 weeks, and I barely weigh 110. Mm-hmm. So when I was in school, I was even smaller. And so my little self trying to fight people, and it wasn't just one-on-one. It was cliques. Right. And then, too, at the same time, my parents raised me to not fight back. And then I thought about influential leaders like Dr. King. He never fought back, and hoses were turned on him, dogs were sicked on him, but he had that nonviolent approach. So that's how I handled it. Mm. I just chose not to fight because that's not me.
Yeah, exactly. What's your favorite chapter in the book?
My favorite chapter in the book is Teaching Stuffed Animals.
Right.
And that's chapter 10.
And I think a lot of kids, when they're kids, they have like classroom. I used to do that. Me and my cousins used to play classroom. You know, write names on the sheets of paper, pass them out, but there's nobody in there. So, you know, you're talking, you know. So talk about that chapter for the people.
That's my favorite chapter because, as I mentioned in my book, how I dealt with the bullying is I would have an outlet. Mm. And so my parents were teachers. My dad taught French, African-American literature and French. I mean, and history, excuse me. And my mother was a librarian.
Okay.
And so I would come home and line up all of my stuffed animals, and I would teach to them. And in Ms. Taylor's class, there was no bullying. Everybody was treated with dignity and respect. Everybody was given encouragement.
And this teacher made it a point to point out to not to bully.
Yes, okay. Because I was being bullied at school. I knew that there was not going to be any bullying in my class. Right. And so I had encouragement. It's so funny because I personified my animals. They're not real, but I'm over here giving them names and excellent job, great job. Mm-hmm. The imagination of a kid. So that's what helped me deal with the bullying. And also it helped me retain the information that I had learned that day in school. So we're talking about mathematic tables, or we're talking about science, and I'm over here repeating
teaching,
the information.
Yeah, you're teaching
your
stuffed animals.
Yeah. Exactly, which is why I helped contribute to me making A's in my classes. Yeah. So that helped me deal with the bullying.
Now, where was your brother? I know you mentioned you have a brother.
I do.
Where was he in all of this? How much older is he? Or
he's
younger
10 years
than
older than me.
Okay, so he wasn't even in the same school as you.
No, so when I was 8, he was already in college.
He was already gone.
He was already, because people were like, where was Big Brother?
Yeah,
Big
exactly.
Brother is 6 feet, and he would have, not none of this would have happened. And a Big Brother had been around. Okay. But he's so much older than me, and even I have a sister. She's okay. 6 years older than me. But
she
we were
a little bit.
A little bit, but we still were never in the same school.
Right,
you know, when
exactly.
I was in elementary, she was in late middle. When I was in middle, she was in. So it never worked out.
Did they ever experience any bullying?
Yes.
Okay.
They did. My sister experienced a lot of bullying. My brother, not so much.
Okay.
I guess it's kind of different with men. Mm-hmm. And he was a star athlete, played basketball, ran track, cross country, as well as academic, had a 5.1 GPA. Mm-hmm. But me and my sister, I think it's something with women too, girls. I think women can be a little cattier than men. So
yeah, we hear that a lot. But call us up at 323-293-3375. We're going to come right back, and we're going to talk about Chapter 12, Bullied by a Teacher.
Mm.
And the teacher was her. So we'll be right back. And we're back to Phil and Friends, sponsored by The Plug Report. I'm Phil, and I'm here with my friend, Tensie J. Taylor. And we're talking about Bullied from Terror to Triumph, my survival story. And before the break, we were talking about a teacher bullied her.
Yes.
But the thing about it was, the teacher was her mom's homegirl.
Yes.
Which is the crazy part about it. So let's talk about that for the people. That's chapter 12.
Yes.
Bullied by a teacher.
That was an interesting year. I was in elementary school, fifth grade, and my teacher was doing a lesson on conversions.
Mm.
And she said, how many ounces are in a pound? And I raised my hand. I said, there are 16 ounces in a pound. She hit her hand on the table. Wrong. Yeah. There are 14 ounces in a pound. And I'm looking at her in a perplexing manner. And I was like, no, it's 16 ounces in a pound. And on this, I don't care what the book says. I'm the teacher. I ought to know what I'm talking about. Like, she's making this huge scene.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay. So I leave her alone. And after that incident, she really just started to pick on me more in class. There was a student who sat right next to me, kind of like where you and I are sitting now. And he kept talking to me. And I asked her if she could move him away from me so that I wouldn't get in trouble. Well, the next day, she put him even closer to me. She would put me out in the hallway for not doing anything, would just nitpick little things about me. And so I told my mom about it. My health was affected.
And what grade was this again?
Fifth grade.
This was, yeah, okay.
Fifth
97,
grade,
first
yeah.
97.
Mm-hmm. So my health was being affected. I was counting down the days. How many days until Christmas break? how many days until the school year ends? My parents were like, what's going on? This isn't like you. So I told my mom what was happening. She talked to the teacher, who again was her friend. The friend went off on her, so that didn't turn out well. And so then my mom and dad went to the principal, and the principal acted nonchalantly. Well, I don't want to fill out the paperwork to get Tensi out of this class. So my parents had to go all the way up to the superintendent to get me out of the class. And finally did, but it should not have had to take that much. I mean, told the principal, Tensi's afraid to go to school. The lady is demeaning her. This is not a healthy environment.
And that's kind of weird to put a child in. You know, it's almost unbelievable to know that a person would go through this, especially with. That's just crazy.
It is. But I think that because she was wrong with her lesson, she wanted to make me feel bad by making a spectacle of me in class.
Right, exactly.
And I wasn't trying to correct her in a demeaning or condescending way. I was just saying that the textbook said, and there are 16 ounces in a pound, not 14. Mm-hmm. And she just took it and just made my life miserable.
Looking back on your life, did the bullying make you stronger?
Absolutely. I think it made me a stronger person. It made me more resilient. I have a plethora of tenacity and determination. It's unfortunate that I had to go through that.
Absolutely.
But I think that is what made me who I am. Mm-hmm. And as one lady who interviewed me, she said, you turned your scars into stars.
Yeah.
And so that's why when I talk to young people, I say, don't play victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have obstacles. We all have situations that we go through in life. But how you respond to those situations will determine your outcome.
Right.
So I could still be here at 30 years old saying, oh my God, I was bullied. Somebody tried to break my arm. Poor me. Woe is me. And making all these excuses why I can't achieve. Instead, I turned that negativity into positivity and was like, okay, you didn't like me then. You're really not going to like me now because I'm going to go even harder.
Right, exactly. So these people that are bullying you, so you know I'm like a comedian, so I got to say a joke. Were they like ugly people or something? Like, what is it? People tell me stop joking so much. My God, were these ugly people? Tizzy's kind of cute, y'all. So were these like little fat girls or something?
Well, if you read the book, you'll read some of the descriptions of them. They were just mean. I think it was insecurity.
And the majority of the time it is insecurity.
Yes. And as Dr. Gloria Morrow, who wrote the foreword to my book, she says that hurt people hurt people.
Exactly.
And so.
And they get it from their parents.
They get it from their parents.
The only way you treat other people wrong is that you see it at home or you see it on your daily life, because nobody acts like that unless it's learned.
Exactly. And so when the parents would come to school and I would see how they act, and I said, ah, that makes sense.
Because you know it's hard. You got to go to school with some hood rats and stuff sometimes. You know, it's a lot of stuff you got. We're going to keep this conversation a little educated. Call us up at 323-293-3375. Again, the number is 323-293-3375. Let's talk about chapter 15. Would I ever be queen?
Yes.
I was not treated like a queen or princess at school, but I was fortunate and blessed to be treated like a princess at home by dad and brother.
Yes, they did. My dad... hope he's listening. Shout out. Hi, Daddy. From kindergarten through 12th grade, cooked breakfast for me and my siblings every morning. And I'm not talking about a grape and a glass of water. I'm talking about grits, eggs, pancakes.
Did you say grape and a glass of water? Go ahead. I don't need to cut you off.
You said you're a comedian. I thought I'd throw a little joke in there.
Who eats a grape?
I don't know. You know, so that's how some people describe their breakfast.
She didn't say grapefruit. She said grape.
I said a grape. Uno, one grape. Okay. Every morning he cooked for me. And even in the winter months when I got my license, he would start my car when it was cold for my mom and me and sister, so that when we got in our car, it would be warm. So this is how I was treated at home. And treated great at home. But then at school, I always wanted to be homecoming queen.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman princess, sophomore princess. Every year I applied and tried to get on. But... students, one year I was one vote away from making the court.
Mm-hmm.
And then my senior year, when I didn't make homecoming queen, I said, that's okay. I'm going to treat myself, still get my hair done, my makeup done, my nails done, so I could feel like a queen. And students went to the football game, was like, what is wrong with you? You look stupid. You're not a queen. Why are you all dressed up like that? So it's like, I wasn't treated like a queen at school, but at home, I had that love and support.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
So let's talk about your high school years. So, of course, it continued.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, it's like, damn, I can't deal with this anymore, right? I mean, at some point, you get to that part, like, what is the problem? What do I need to do, or how can I stop this?
Yeah. And then me, I'm always, again, I keep talking about my size, but it's very important to me. I'm tiny, so I was afraid. And these people are big and bigger, and they were fighting in high school.
See, if I was your dad, I would have to give you a gun at this point. Like, look, we just going to go ahead and take it.
I didn't want. I didn't want to resort to violence.
And that's important. That's important not to resort to violence. So
it is.
Yeah. And you didn't mention that, but mention that to the people about not resorting to violence.
Yeah, because a lot of times people want to fight back, and there have been so many stories of people who were bullied who did fight back and they got seriously injured. One of my good friends, I met her a few months ago, and she was bullied in school, and they beat her up so badly they put her in a coma.
Really?
Yes, very unfortunate. The parents sued the school district.
Wow.
And now she has this program called Teen Bully Buster, where she teaches women how to fight, jiu-jitsu, all these type of martial arts. Especially as women, we need to know for self-defense. But she said that bullying experience would never make her feel like unempowered again.
It's bullying is such a it's an epidemic, right?
Or is it? It isn't. I mean, everywhere
because it's always happened.
It's always happened, and now, as you mentioned earlier, with cyberbullying, it's worse.
And you know who's the worst bully of all?
Don't you dare say that word.
The devil, and his name is Donald J. Trump. And so that is probably the worst. But we got cyberbullying now with kids. Kids are killing themselves over being cyberbullied.
Yes, they are killing themselves, and that's what I keep saying with the teachers and administrators. Please take this seriously, because I have read stories where the parent is going to the school and showing the principal. These are students, what they're saying on my child's Facebook page. One student, some students copied like an inappropriate image of her and circulated it around the school, and the young lady took her life.
Right.
So please take this seriously. And then with cyberbullying, some people will create a fake profile, will be anonymous, so it makes it kind of harder to trace.
Find out who exactly it is.
Yeah.
It says in your book that students who are bullied, others are at an increased risk of substance abuse, academic problems, and violence later in adolescence and adulthood compared to students who are only bullied. Who are only victims, students who do not suffer the most consequences are at greater risk for both mental health and behavior problems. So what do parents do at this point? My child is getting bullied.
So the parents have to take an active role. Like, I give so much credit to my book, and that's another one of my favorite chapters in my book called Thank You. I thank my parents and the people who helped me. But when you know your child and you're taking a keen interest in what's going on, then you can see those changes in their behavior. Are they becoming withdrawn? Are they becoming more quiet? Are they counting down the days? Are they giving stuff away? These are signs that, something isn't right. So parents, please take an active approach in it. And students, please tell an adult, a teacher, or a parent, somebody, a mentor, of what is transpiring, because a lot of times, even with me, I kept it bottled up. Mm-hmm. And at 16, you was like, you're in high school, you finally reach your limit. I did reach my limit at 16. Right. I contemplated suicide.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So read the book to learn more about what my thought process was behind that. But I would go to school every day, and I would do well, and I would be nice, and I wouldn't bother anybody. But students would, again, make fun of me. They weren't making fun of my name brand, because I had name brand clothes in high school at this time.
Right.
But I didn't have the nicest car. So they were making fun of my car. They were calling me ugly, making fun of my eyes. I used to be very self-conscious about my eyes, because they're big.
Well, I have big eyes, too.
That makes us bright, you know? But I can say that now, but back then.
At least we can see far away.
And that's what people would say. Those were some jokes that they would make about me. Mm. And, you know, I had an incident where a student threw ice cream at me in the cafeteria, threw food at me on the school bus.
Really?
Yeah.
This is very deep. I don't even know if we had people at school who actually went through anything like this. This is something that's like, it's almost stuff you see in the books.
Yeah, it is. Like stuff you see in the
movies.
Books or something you see in the movies. Like
Absolutely.
This is some Hollywood tale. But this is my life.
Yeah.
And so you go to school and people making fun of your car. When I did ride the bus, they're throwing food at me in the cafeteria. They're throwing ice cream at me. They're calling me ugly and all these different things. I'm like, what's the point of going on with life, you know? And so I was like, I've had enough. But thankfully, I came to my senses, and I was not going to give those bullies the satisfaction of me taking my life and then they going on and living theirs.
Absolutely.
And then, two, I didn't want to leave my parents and the few friends that I had with that heartache.
So what gave you that encouragement to move forward? Are you spiritual?
I am. Okay. So my faith, I had an epiphany right before I was scheduled to take my life, and I pulled over and I just cried. And I said, I will never allow this to happen again. And so my faith is what kept me going. I mentioned that a lot in my book. And just my parents and brother, and they were there for me. They kept me grounded.
Wow.
And then my parents, too. I love listening to stories. And so they grew up during segregation.
Yeah.
And so my dad had to walk 5 miles to school.
In North Carolina.
In North Carolina. So they had to walk. They were had things thrown at them, called the N-word. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if they can make it through that, I have some Taylor and Richardson blood in me. I have some strength in there. Right. I can make it through what I'm going through.
And it's horrible that you have to go through with your own people, though. Right? And I know you mentioned that, so let's talk about that.
My own people. I have a chapter in there entitled Observations About My Race. And the caveat is that the students who bullied me mainly were from my own race. So this is my perspective. People have told me, well, other races bully. That's true. They do bully. But I'm just saying from my perspective, my own people bullied me and they made fun of me. They said I was a sellout. Because I pronounced the ing on my words, because I said the t's on my words, because I was an honors and AP student. They called me names such as Oreo. They said I was black on the outside, barely, because I'm light skinned, and said I was white on the inside. They just made fun of me for awards day. I hated awards day.
Now you went to school with all types of people.
Well, North Carolina is really just black and white. Okay. It's not as diverse as LA. So it was about kind of half and half.
Okay.
And I related more to the white students because they were nice to me. And for awards day, I hated awards day because I would go up to get an award and I won several awards and some of my black peers would say, I'm so sick of her. Why can't she sit down? It's because of her I can't win anything. And I remember in fifth grade I had won.
Where were y'all winning the favorite black student out of year that you can't get winning? Like what?
Their rationale.
See, that would have been me. I'm sorry.
You would have turned it into comedy.
It would have been something else. It would have been comedy and a few incidents. I would have to get expelled a couple of times. But yeah, that's horrible. But go ahead.
It is. Fifth grade, I had won so many awards that the teacher had to help me carry the awards back to my room, to the classroom. And so I set some of the awards on the table and I set some on the floor. And the student comes over and kicks my trophies on the floor and says, just because you won awards now, that doesn't mean you're going to be anybody in life.
Now, this was another brother or sister.
Yeah, a brother who said this to me. And I was like, wow, I won an award. You had none. But you're sitting here telling me that I'm not going to amount to anything. All I'm doing is getting my education, trying to do well. I can understand if I'm out here causing trouble, causing havoc. Okay, get on my case. But I was trying to be productive and help them along the way, but they didn't want it.
I'm just dumbfounded by this. This is crazy. This is what kids go through every day.
Yes.
You'll be surprised at the amount of students who get bullied. You'll get surprised at just the statistics on bullying.
Yes.
And it's not kids just being kids. It's not just kids being
kids. It's
not. If it would have just happened maybe once or twice, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But no, this was a constant struggle.
And physically, like a student tried to break my arm. I had a phone conversation.
But let's talk about that too, because I highlighted that. Let's talk about that incident. And it's another chapter 14. I'm trying to find now. But go ahead. Let's talk about that incident that happened to you.
Yeah.
And you guys, make sure you get this book. Tell them again where to go find it.
Go to Amazon online, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. It's available. And if you want an autographed copy, message me through social media and I'll hook that up for you. But it tells my story. And when I was in elementary school, a student tried to break my arm. We were going to PE class to change. And she said, open the locker room door for me. I said, no, I'm not opening the locker room door. So she grabs my arm and bends it back.
Really?
Yes. And tries to break it. And the only thing that prevented her from doing that is I screamed. And so the teacher's like, what's going on over there?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
You guys have to really read this book. It's a very interesting book. And it also, but it shows the amount of success you had too.
Yes.
It shows the amount of greatness that was in you, that's always been in you. And so it's good to see that kids who are getting bullied, they can't be or won't be affected by what's happening to them.
And that's when I talk to young people, I tell them that it's not the end all be all. These people that you go to school with, especially in high school, after you graduate and go into college or whatever profession you want to do, you might not even see them. And my dad would always tell me, these same people who are bullying you, they're probably going to be the ones one day asking you for help. Can you get me a job?
Absolutely.
And as funny as it is, that's what happens now. I talked to a parent the other day. She said her child is being bullied. They pushed her down the steps. She had to get an MRI on her leg. They got the police involved. And I just don't understand why be mean. My message is preaching kindness and respect. If you don't like somebody, okay, cool. Right. Leave them alone.
But how do you change the... Okay, say for instance, I just don't understand kindness and respect because it's not taught in the home.
Yeah, it all starts at home.
I only know talking to you crazy. I only know talking about you.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
So how do we transform the minds of people, of students, to get them on that level?
If they're not getting it at home, they need to get it somewhere. And that's where the importance of mentorship and organizations such as the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA, the YWCA, all these different organizations that work with young people, that's where they can get some mentorship, where they can get some positive influence, where somebody is telling them that you matter. Because sometimes in the home, they're not getting it from their parents. Their parents might be the ones who are berating them and castigating them. But at least if they're not getting it there, if they're getting it somewhere, they can believe in themselves. And that's why I always tell the young people, find a mentor.
Find a mentor. Mentors are so important.
So important.
They're very important.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Tensie J. Taylor, 323-293-3375. This song is for you, Tensie J.
All right.
I'm a survivor. We'll be right back. And we're back. Feeling Friends, sponsored by The Plug Report. I'm here with my friend, Tensie J. Taylor. An amazing song. I did that song for you.
Thank you. Yes, that's my anthem.
Beyonce. I was taking a nap earlier.
Beyonce was bullied too.
Was she?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Because they made fun of her ears, and she was just a nice, sweet
girl. Does she have like elf ears or something? That was a joke. I cannot be serious.
But look where she is today, and I'm sure those people who bullied her were like, oh, I
Well, I bullied a lot of people. Oprah was bullied.
Oprah, Christina Milian.
Let's talk about that. So Tensie J. Taylor is also in entertainment. She's a Hollywood. Y'all need to get this book. Because I was like, who is this? This lady? She's like Oprah. She knows everybody. She with Boris Kojo, everybody. Kathy Bates. I actually did a TV show with Kathy Bates.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Harry's Law. I was like in the background.
Okay, so actor.
I had a little cameo. I was like, hey.
So I need to get your autograph. Exactly.
So let's talk about Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah, so
in Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood, there's bullying. And I went to a BU campaign one time, and Christina Milian and I were talking. Uh-huh. Like the beautiful, gorgeous singer, actress Christina Milian, she was bullied.
That's like Christina. That's Christina. She be doing those roles. And I'm sorry, I'm bullying her. Jesus Christ. That's Beyonce and then Christina Milian. No, you said Christina Milian.
Christina Milian.
Christina Milian. Oh, yes. I already got a picture of her from high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's a sweetie.
But yeah, just finish talking about it. I'm sorry.
Yes, we were sharing our bullying stories, and she said she was bullied in school and eventually became homeschooled. So you just never know who goes through what, which is why I put my book out there in my story to just share, to inspire, to motivate that, you know, if you're going through this now, there are better days ahead.
And the thing about it is, even in adulthood, stuff happens.
Yes, stuff
does
happen.
But I think at the level of adulthood, you handle it differently, right?
Yeah, some people do. I mean, you still see people uploading videos on World Star Hip Hop, adults fighting and all that.
That's just
right. Unclassy. So some it is unclassy, but a true adult would handle it in a proper way. And so how I handle mine, in one of my chapters, I say fighting back. Mm. And so I fight back. If someone does me wrong, I'll write a letter to the president of an organization, or I'll make a complaint. Or
yeah, you really have been hanging around white people, because white people will write a letter to the organization. I am totally unsatisfied with the customer service. But that's how you get results. That's honestly how you get results. You got to write a letter, because going off on the cashier who's making $10.25 at Neiman's is not going to make a difference. Now, when you write a letter to the corporate office, that makes a difference. They mean you serious. Yeah. I actually took the time out to write this letter and then put it in an envelope and buy a stamp.
I know one time my mom was having a problem with Sears. And my mom, you know, she's sweet like me. And I was like, okay, mom, give me the phone, please. Thank you. And, you know, I said, well, this appliance isn't working well, and I demand to speak to somebody, blah, blah, blah. And first they were telling my mom nothing could be done. Then all of a sudden I'm over here saying, okay, well, that's fine. I can write a letter to corporate and we can take it. Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. We did find a way for this to happen. Exactly. Oh, so the story changed.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's how I fight back. I don't believe in hitting and violence and all of that, but fight back with your words, with your resources, with your mind.
So you're Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Like you said earlier.
I'm not Malcolm X.
I am Malcolm X, my enemy necessary. If you come up in my face, you're going to get these paws and these claws.
Hey, no,
that will get you in trouble. Please don't do that, because you have a court case and you do not want that. So you're a red carpet host.
Let's talk about that. Hollywood. So that's my other life. So as an educator at USC, that's my main job. But I get to go and interview celebrities at different events.
Yeah.
So I've been to the Oscars, Grammys, NAACP Image Awards, BET Awards, so many different award shows. I keep a spreadsheet of every event that I've been to. And I've done about 300 red carpets in Hollywood and have interviewed more than 300 celebrities. And I see celebrities so much. Mm-hmm. That's how I got several of them to endorse my book.
Yeah.
So Jane Kennedy, Carl Anthony Payne, Gary Hardwick.
Carl Anthony Payne is from Martin.
That's the homie.
How was he in Big Shirley?
You know, I was watching Martin the other day in the episode of that came on. So I don't know how they doing. I have to check on them and see.
Portia Coleman.
Gary Hardwick who directed The Brothers. And Amy Newmark, who is the editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Devon Franklin, he endorsed it as well. And other celebrities have posted on their social media pages. Nicole Ari Parker posted about it. Neil Brown, who played DJ Yellen straight out of Compton, good friend, he posted about it. So,
and I'm endorsing it.
And you!
That's the biggest endorsement ever.
So my book sales are going to skyrocket
after this. But they need to get it. Bully from Terror to Triumph. It's an excellent book. People really need to purchase this book. I mean, it's so interesting. I was telling you, I've been trying to read it for the past 3 weeks, but it's you have to, like, sit down and focus on it.
You have to focus
because it's so, like, Jesus.
Yeah, and I tell people, too, it's not, like, this sad, depressing story, like, oh, my God. I have humor in there. Yeah. I have anecdotes in there. I have inspiring stories in there. I have pictures in there of celebrities that I've interviewed, places that I've traveled, England, Ireland. One of my claims to fame is I played piano when I was 16 in Westminster Cathedral Hall for Queen Elizabeth's Knight, Sir Andrew. So just to show young people that no matter what people are saying about you, if they're making fun of your appearance or intellect, forget it.
Yeah.
Keep going because who knows where you will end up.
Yeah. Keep shining.
Keep shining.
Go that you can always. So back to the 200. What was your most famous interview that you've done so far?
My most famous interview. Wow, I've done so many. I enjoyed interviewing Morris Chestnut.
Okay.
I didn't interview Oprah, but I got to meet her.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I would love to meet, well, to be interviewed by Oprah.
That's you did that on the red carpet, right?
Bucket list.
Well,
yes.
Well, you did.
Yes.
You can check that off.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to, but you want like a sit down.
I want a sit down interview at her home.
Okay.
Like she does her Soul Sunday sessions.
Yes. The Promised Land. I know Oprah very well.
Can you hook that up for me?
Let me
get on her show.
I got TV. That's what it is. So that's the only way I can connect with Oprah.
But, I mean, I tell people, put it out there because you never know. She might hear this interview and say, I would love for my book to also be part of her book club.
That'd be wonderful.
And she's just full of positivity, and hearing her story and where she is today is so inspirational.
Absolutely.
So, Oprah, if you ever hear this, I would love to be interviewed by you. And
Oprah, call us up. Nobody else is. Call us up, Oprah.
Tell her the number.
Right, 323-293-3375. You know, people, it's funny. People would call after. They was like, "Oh, I wanted to call in, but I was so scared. Like, why were you scared?
You don't have to say a name. Just be anonymous."
But so back to Hollywood. So
yes.
What inspired you to actually go into that?
To red carpet hosting?
Yeah,
I have so many, like my book always talks about also life lessons and being polite and how my mom and dad raised me. Yes, ma'am, no, sir, please, and thank you. Manners will take you further than any amount of education ever will. My dad always told me that. And so I was at an event one time in 2013 and just being me, hello, sir, how are you? And this lady was watching me and she comes over to me and she says, have you ever considered red carpet hosting? I said, no, ma'am, but I have my bachelor's in communication. I'll give it a try. She said, here's my card. Call me. Rule of thumb, people, if you want to connect with someone, please follow up.
Yeah, you
follow
have to.
Up is key.
Follow up is so key.
People miss out on opportunities because they don't follow up. And so I followed up with her, and she took me on a trial run and did some hosting classes and did my reel, and boom. Like I said, I've been on more than 300 red carpets in Hollywood, and I mean, the people that I would watch growing up on TV, I still watch on TV.
Yeah, and you're connected.
And I'm connected. Like, I'll be watching a show or a movie, and I'll text, like, oh, my gosh, I'm watching you right now. And so it's just really surreal that this small girl from this small town in North Carolina now has the opportunity to hobnob with the biggest celebrity. So the sky is the limit.
Sky is the limit. Have you had any celebrity bully you?
No,
I have. I got some stories.
Who bullied you? You want to tell that real name?
I shouldn't do that.
I shouldn't be nice. Be kind.
I will. But when I see him again,
you'll be like.
Actually, it was like three people. So I won't, but there, yeah, so we'll, you know,
okay, we'll keep anything. It positive.
Yeah.
Because they might be listening, you know?
They might be listening.
You just never know. But one of the things where I talked about how my parents raised me came in handy was when I first started interviewing, I never called celebrities by their first name.
You call
so
them
my mom, yeah, because my mom and dad say you don't call somebody their first name until I did that with you. I was like, "Hey," you're like, "No, call me."
Like,
Phil.
Who are you talking to? Everybody's like, "What?" But we appreciate that.
Yeah, you know and I mean? They appreciated that. Absolutely. And I remember at a red carpet event with Russell Simmons, you had like Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood. All these big names were there, and I was interviewing for an online network, and everybody's Russell, one question, and I say, "Mr. Simmons, one quick question." He comes over and talks to me. Just because I said Mr. Simmons. And so when I interview the celebrities, they say, wow, you're genuine. You're kind.
He's actually very – I used to work for Russell Simmons in New York. He's very nice. I worked at one of his companies, Global Grind.
Okay.
He's
a very nice guy. But they always tell me, thank you for being kind. Thank you for being gracious. I'm not trying to get into their personal life. I'm asking them about the charities. Right. What made you get into acting? What advice do you have for other aspiring thespians? So I enjoy it.
Yeah. What advice do you have for someone who's listening who wants to be a red carpet host?
Internships. Volunteer. I was having a conversation with a friend about this earlier today. A lot of people don't want to volunteer. They always want to do a paid opportunity first. But if you volunteer, you're showing your work ethic that if you're willing to do something for free now, that the benefit will pay off in the long run. So when I started Red Carpet Hosting, that was kind of volunteer, but I built my reel. I built these connections. I could reach out to the celebrities. So it paid off in the end.
And how long have you been doing that?
Since 2013, so 2013. 4 years.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's always funny whenever my mom or a friend comes, I'm like, who's your favorite celebrity? And if I know them, you know, I'll let them meet them. My mom loves Boris and Nicole, and she got to meet them. And but it just started with volunteer and following up. So if you're really serious about something, you do the work.
Right.
You put the craft in, and you got to research. You know,
do the work.
A lot of people don't want to
do
the work.
You like Yana Van Zandt, since you're quoting her?
Do I like her?
Have you seen her show?
I don't watch her show that often. Okay. I do know about
her. She always says that. Do the work.
Do the work.
Do the work, yeah.
That's a great quote. And a lot of people want, to be honest, they just are lazy.
Yeah,
they don't want to put, they want stuff to come to them, but they don't want to work hard.
And you have to grind because
them.
These people have been working for years. Listen, people in entertainment have been working for years.
Yes.
I mean, they finally get something. They're like 52, but they play a 33-year-old. You know what I mean? So it's like, Jesus, how long have you been working? But they've been working. Look at Morgan Freeman. He's working since 1916.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of time before
you. Said 1916.
It's a matter of time before you start blowing. But once you take off, and that's the thing about entertainment is that you have to like stick with it because you're going to go through a lot, and you have to like.
You have to, and I tell people too, have different talents. Mm-hmm. So one, I love talking to young people. This is why I go around and I'm a motivational speaker. But a lot of people look at have a one-track mind. Mm-hmm. I just want to be a doctor. I want to be an actor. Okay, that's fine. That's wonderful. But utilize your other talents that you have because that can come in handy. So for me, I'm an educator. But now I'm an author, motivational speaker. I've been in a few films, actress. I sing. I play piano. I play trumpet. So these are like 8 different talents and skill sets that I possess that bring in extra money.
You might be a robot. There ain't nobody that talented. Lord have mercy. And y'all, she got proof of it, too. The problem is you got proof of everything.
I do. Go to my Facebook page and watch me play Ribbon in the Sky.
She is playing the trumpet. She is training rhinoceroses. And I don't even know what's the plural of rhinos, elephants, monkeys. Like, what in the world? She really is from terror to triumph. And you're really making it happen.
That's the triumph part. Yes. That's why I have a chapter in there called My Accomplishments, not to brag, but to let people know that me, I was terrorized for 13 years. But I did not let that deter me from accomplishing my goals.
Absolutely.
And I'll be honored next week in Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Yes.
I'm receiving the Humanitarian. Thank you. Humanitarian of the Year Award from the Peach Theater Awards. That's done every year by Pashonda. She's a lady in the entertainment industry.
I've heard of her. Who is she?
She's a writer, director. She does plays.
Was that the lady that danced? No, that's not her. Did she dance?
No.
Somebody else. Okay.
Someone else.
Okay.
So she has this every year, and I was very honored that she selected me.
That's so good.
For my work with bullying, my work with students. So it's going to be great. So I'm going to be honored in Jamaica.
That's a blessing. And you were actually just honored in Atlanta.
I was honored in Atlanta.
And you were on B103, the People Station.
The B103, the People Station. And my book received honorable mention for the Hollywood Book Festival. So I was very excited about that. Thousands of people entered. So the fact that my book just made it to honorable mention it makes me feel good. So I'm grinding. I'm trying to get my message out there. I'm in the process of turning this book into a script. I'm going to pitch for a TV series or a movie.
That'll be good. You have to throw like one fight in there. Like just where she
Hollywood.
Wins.
I can
you
change
have
it.
To. At least where she wins. Just one fight. Where,
I can you know, change it around. That's where that creative
have
genius
have somebody like
in.
Your size fight Respucia.
There we go. Norman. I mean, that's like the David and Goliath, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
See, okay, I'll
kind of like
credit.
The people you have to deal with.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I'll give you credit for that in the movie when
Thank
that
you.
Happens.
We have that recorded.
No going back on that, right?
Exactly. And I want my check.
I'll get you your warranties.
Right. So just we're almost out of time. Not really. We have about 10 minutes left. But what are your what do you say again to parents and students? Matter of fact, let's talk to the kids now. Somebody might
yes.
be listening. I keep getting bullied. I need yes. help. What do I do today? I don't want to go through transformation. I need help now.
Kids,
what can I do?
As I mentioned earlier, tell an adult, someone that you trust, and document the bullying that transpires. Somebody interviewed me the other day and said, well, that's a lot for a child. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, a lot for a child. But if you say, you know, on August 17th, mm-hmm. Billy hit me. On August 19th, such and such happened. So that way, if you have to take it to court, if you have to take it to that level, you have the proof. Parents play an active role. Teachers intervene. If you see some bullying going on, stop it. Have the bully and the victim sit down and discuss it. If it's still going on, go to the principal. Mm-hmm. There's this concept called restorative justice that seems to be working well when it comes to bullying. But one of the things that I want to say, know your worth. Mm-hmm. Because when you are confident in who you are, you believe in yourself, it doesn't matter as much what people think. And so I had low self-esteem.
Is that what it was?
The low yes. Okay. Low, and a lot of people who were bullied, they say they had low self-esteem.
Right.
And so the people who were calling me ugly and calling me a big-eyed freak and saying, I wish you would die and all this stuff, I believed it, you know? And so instead of me saying, okay, that's your opinion, but I know my worth, I am beautiful, write 5 affirmations to yourself. I actually saw this on Instagram. This mother was teaching her daughter this because she was being bullied. And she was being bullied because of her dark complexion, which is unfortunate. But she was like, I am beautiful. I love my dark skin. I am happy. And every day she would make her recite these things.
And it's funny you say that because I've heard a lot of celebrities say that. Write the affirmations down on the mirror.
Yes.
When you wake up in the morning, or they put them in a shower in like a plastic thing, and mm-hmm. they'll read 5 affirmations.
Yeah, because if somebody were to say, you have big eyes or you look like a frog, I'll say, okay.
Yeah.
But now I get complimented on my eyes. So
you know what I'll do? I have 5 fingers. Which one would you like? Got 5 fingers. Take a
What was
and
that joke?
Be blessed.
With David Chappelle said, what did the 5 fingers say to the... I can't remember the joke, but it was so funny. It was like, slap! What did the 5 fingers say to the face?
Tonight. Yeah, exactly.
Slap! But yeah, so when you have that self-confidence in you, it makes a big difference. And
it
then,
really
too,
does.
With bullying, if you don't realize your worth, then it can be hindered later in life. You might get into an abusive relationship
Absolutely.
Or be with someone who isn't right for you or get involved with gangs
yes.
and drugs and all of that.
Yeah.
So start early. And then also, one last thing I was going to say, I lost my train of thought. It starts early.
Starts early.
Yeah.
And you have to put the confidence in your children to know their self-worth.
Yes.
Do your affirmations. Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And I just feel bad because it's actually kids and going to kindergarten tomorrow. School's starting.
Yeah.
That's why this show is very important. You know, school's starting. So they're going to be dealing with that. And they will be able to handle it. They'll be able to go through what they need to and ask God to help them and get them through.
Absolutely. And people, students, stand up. The statistics show that when a peer intervenes,
yes.
57% of bullying is decreased. So if you see somebody being bullied, stand up. There's this phrase that the Anti-Defamation League call says, stand up, stand with.
Right.
So like the student on the first day of kindergarten, nobody came to my rescue. But if somebody had, you know, Tinsley, let me help you up. You shouldn't have done that. Like, you should not have told this to the bully. That would have made a big difference. So intervene. But you know what's scary, too? The way our society is, sometimes you intervene, and then the person trying to stop, they get hurt. People are just, it's an interesting conversation and a dynamic.
It's a very weird situation. My cousin, actually, my younger cousin, she was getting bullied. And she was a very pretty girl here in California. And they would bully her every day. But it was like the little hood rats that would, no, seriously, she was a very beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
They would fight her literally every day. They would go to the restroom and try to attack her. And she had to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
And she had to learn how to fight very fast, mm-hmm. to the point to where her videos are going viral for fighting because she was getting attacked every day. So it's one of those things
where were the school, where was all that?
They have so many, you know, overpopulation. And so it's just, so it was, it's very bad. And it's sad that kids have to go through this type of thing. But hopefully we'll stop it. And this year, hopefully some change will happen with some students.
So. I hope so. I mean, it's just, I could talk to one student and they might take my advice and somebody else might fight like you're. It just depends on the person, but I just, based on what my experiences have been, and be kind, be positive. Like I said, if you don't like, we don't like everybody. There are people I don't like, people don't like me. That's okay.
Exactly.
But why am I going to go out of my way to deliberately hurt someone? Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you have a problem within you.
Problem within you. Fix yourselves.
Yes.
Fix yourselves. And once you fix yourself, everything else will work out.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Can I have people follow me on social media?
Absolutely. Go
ahead. Okay, great. So follow me, please, on Facebook. My fan page is Tensie J. Taylor. My Instagram name is Tensie, T-E-N-S-I-E Taylor. And my Twitter name is at Miss M.S. Tensie.
Miss Tensie J. Taylor, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much,
Phil.
I had
a really good time.
Wonderful time with you. You got to bring me back.
You got to come back. When's the next book coming out?
I don't know when the next book is coming out, but stay tuned for the movie in a few years.
Yes.
I'm speaking into existence.
Yes, and remember what she said, that she's going to write me a check.
Your check for the whole Rasputin me scene and David and Goliath. Yeah, exactly. I got you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
You've been listening to Phil and Friends, sponsored by The Plug Report, every Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I'll be back next Sunday. I don't know who's going to be here, but we're going to have a great show for you. Actually, I do. We're talking about men. We're going to have two fellas here.
Oh.
We're talking about relationships and what we want out of relationships.
Oh, I'll make sure I'll tune in.
You got to listen. You should call in, too.
I will.
We're going to be talking about some real stuff next week.
Okay, so. I'm going to call in.
Again, this is Phil and Friends, sponsored by The Plug Report. If you're trying to call in now, don't call me. We love you. Thank you so much for being
a good
friend.
Thank you, Phil. Right, I appreciate you.
We'll see you guys next week.